Hello, Mexnet Kisses. This is Nuke Chess, and this is day 26 of the dog days of podcasting. And I've had a pretty interesting day. So, I ended up not going down to Mississauga to practice Aikido because I didn't hear back from them if they were holding classes this weekend. So hopefully I'll be able to do that next weekend, although dog days will be over. So I don't know, maybe I'll come back and tell you guys all about that. But I did get to do the next installment of The Curse of Strahd, which is the D&D game that Christiana Ellis is running, and fellow Dog Days Mark Kilfoyle, the Encaffeinated One, is also in that, and Tim Dodge, and Nobilis Reed, and Lee, and I think that's it. Unless I'm missing someone and I feel really bad. I'm pretty sure that's everyone. Although it feels like Paulette is part of it too, because she's been watching us on Twitch almost every session we've done, which is a lot of fun. I've been really enjoying this. It's been really fun, one, to explore the full tools of Roll20.net, which is awesome. They are not paying me to say that, but I have been, I've had the tools since before it really all came together. I was a Kickstarter backer for the person who was basically absorbed, his code was absorbed by Roll20 because he had this great thing. It was supposed to be an app for Google Hangouts, and it was really successful. And because of that success, his team, basically everybody got hired by somebody else, and he couldn't produce it. So the compromise was Roll20 said, hey, we're going to buy your idea, and we want you to come over here, and we want you to lead it. So all of his ideas went into Roll20 and made the platform actually work really well, and they've gone really far since then. And the other part that I've been really enjoying about this is I'm getting to explore 5th edition. I am digging it. I'm really into it. I think that it streamlines things. It has some of the best stuff about 2nd Ed, gets rid of Thaco. The other thing is I'm playing a class I've never played before. I've never played a druid before, and I'm getting to play that, and that's a lot of fun. I've also resurrected an old character from, it's funny, it's from the Star Trek role-playing room that I used to be in, and I've just kind of adapted her to be a wood elf and a druid, and adapted the backstory a little bit, and there's really not that much to change, and it's, I'm having a lot of fun doing this. So then, we had a friend come over and had a good time visiting with him. He just moved to the province, funny enough, down the street from us, so he's in walking distance. And then we walked to the Base Theater, which again, super walking distance, very close, to go see Dunkirk. And I thought, you know, if Dunkirk is good, I'm going to be talking about it on the cast tonight. And it is good, but it's not, it's not dinner and a movie good. it's good in the sense that I'm glad that I watched it. It's good in the sense that I think it was an important movie, and I think Chris Nolan did a really good job of it. But it's less entertainment, more art and educational. So if you can, you know, if you enjoy that thing, that kind of movie, then definitely go see it. But gosh, I don't think I would have wanted to see it in IMAX. It was 2 hours of being anxious, and it took me quite a bit to unwind from the anxiety of it all when we got home. And I ended up having to cook myself some comfort food after a bit of that. Again, I'm glad that I saw it. And hey, remember that time when Bane helped save a beach that the Scarecrow was on, and Dr. Frankenstein helped get a bunch of people off a beach? Yeah, I do. Anyway, apparently one of the guys from One Direction was in it. That was weird, but I didn't notice him, because honestly, they all looked alike. All the guys with dark hair looked alike, and all the guys with blonde hair looked alike. I cannot tell them apart. I could Kenneth Branagh looked different probably because he was in, you know, the fancy naval uniform. But other than that, like, I really can't tell you who was who, and I'm still struggling to figure out which person was which at which time. So there is that problem. I have a very difficult time figuring out people that, you know, unless you have distinguishing characteristics. I mean, I'm sorry, but all white people look the same. So instead of Dunkirk, I'm going to talk about a more fun show, not a movie, but a show. We're going to talk about The Mindy Project, which sounds like fluff and bubblegum, and it is, but it's better than I realize. There's a lot of things that irk me about it. You know, every now and then they'll say things that are just so atrociously wrong or inaccurate or shamey or horrible. And at first, like, that was starting to annoy me, but now I realize that's kind of the point. They're trying to reflect some people's attitudes. There's a very fine line that you can walk, you know, when you're doing satire and you're trying to point out horrible behavior. On the one hand, you make a joke out of it and everyone goes, oh, look how horrible it is. But after a while, it then also becomes accepted behavior because people's favorite characters are doing it. So I think The Mindy Project walks that line pretty well, because pretty much, you know, people admonish each other for the awful things that they do. They don't just let it slide, like, you know, getting girls drunk and, oh, isn't that funny? You take advantage of drunk girls, Barney. But it's fun. It's interesting. A lot of the characters go through different developments. There's so many characters that could fall into stereotypes, and they are often breaking those stereotypes, which is fun. And then sometimes they will play into those stereotypes. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's totally binge-worthy. I did not enjoy it when I was watching it as it came out each week, so now I only watch it binge. It is a binging show, much like Jane the Virgin, much better consumed while binging. Now, I would normally pair this with a donut, because that's what Mindy would eat. A nice, yummy... You know, the funny thing is she'd probably go for a Dunkin's or something because she's in New York, but I would totally put that with a nice Boston cream from Tim Hortons. Sorry, Canada wins. Tim Hortons has better donuts, okay? I have said it. But instead, I'm going to pair this with my risotto. Now, I made a comfort food risotto tonight, and it's totally stupid easy and cheating, and the foodie purists out there would yell at me for doing it. Now, I can make the traditional risotto, and I have, and it's delicious, you know, where it's just some onion, some butter, some oil, some wine, rice, stock, you know, like chicken stock or vegetable stock, and you let it simmer, and then at the end you put a little butter in it, and maybe you might sprinkle Parmesan cheese on top, but you don't really make it cheesy. Because the purists say that it shouldn't have any cream. The cream should come from the rice itself. I can do that. And it's delicious. But that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for comfort food. So, I am not the soup whisperer. That's my sister. My sister Susanna is the soup whisperer. I am not. So what I do is I buy the Campbell's box soup. Not the dry box, but the liquid box. You don't have to add water or anything like that. It's not condensed. It's just completely done in the box. Butternut squash soup. Now, one thing to remember is when you're making risotto with a box soup like that, try to know what kind of seasoning is in there. Taste the soup first, because if you forget, it already has onion, and you saute the onion before you put the rice in, you may over-onion it. It was still delicious, but I did kind of over-onion it a little. And I put some onion, some garlic, a little white wine. It was actually like old white wine. If I can't finish a bottle, I stick it in the fridge so that I can use it for cooking later. That's the wine I used. Some butter. Here's the trick to risotto. There's number one, it's always stir. Don't let it sit there. Don't let it burn. Don't let it get stuck to the bottom of the pan. Use a large pan. You know, one of those big saucepans, so large surface area, so it's not piled on itself. But I swear the real secret is just keep adding butter. I try not to, but if you look at all the chefs, that's what they end up doing. So anyway, so you bring everything, you know, you saute all that, then you blanch the or you toast or whatever it's called. You put the rice in, you let it get saturated enough, and you let it get a little toasty on the outside, and then you start pouring in your soup, and you pour it in slowly so that the rice absorbs in slowly and slowly and slowly. You bring that to a boil, stir that all up, then you bring that down to a simmer. Then you're going to let it simmer for about 15 minutes, and you're going to come back and you're going to keep stirring it. So you want to make sure you stir it like every minute or two. You do not want anything touching the bottom. Like, you don't want anything sticking. Then once you're done there, you turn off the heat. You add another pat of butter. I told you, you're always adding butter. And then what I did is I put some Jarlsberg cheese in there. And I stir that all up and I let it mix up together. And then I put the lid on for like another 2 minutes. And then I serve. And it's gooey and creamy and delicious and comfort foody. And it helps settle an anxiety-ridden stomach. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.